be found in Colossians chapter 3. We're reading the first 17 verses. Colossians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek and Jew, and circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearers, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. Do not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, walk heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word. Happy New Year. You know, every New Year, many of us make New Year's resolutions. I don't know if you're a person who does or does not, but the facts are the same, that the majority of people who make them don't keep them. And as we look at the list of the top 10 most popular New Year's resolutions, they are losing weight, exercising more, getting on a budget, quit smoking, get organized, or maybe learn a new hobby or a new skill, read more, spend more time with family. For the most of those items, it's about self-improvement. It's about improving ourselves. But like I said, the reality is the majority of them fail. Well, do you think as believers we should have a different approach to the new year? Do you think that our view should be different than the world? As believers, I would argue that we're called to something much deeper than self-improvement. Let us turn to Colossians chapter 3. Let's see what God would have for us to focus on in 2023. The world emphasizes self-help and methods to improve your habits, to improve your earthly existence. Is that what God wants for us? I just heard this morning a little clip. I don't even know who it was, but they said that they were leaving their spouse in search for self-love, which is kind of odd because that's not what our Lord calls us to in marriage, is it? We're called to selfless love. But as we turn to Colossians chapter 3, let's look what God has for us compared to the world. We begin in verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on these things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. You know, the first thing I want to call your attention to is verse 4. Where should our focus be? On improving our earthly existence? No, I view verse 4, it says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, we'll appear with him in glory. I would argue that heaven's our home, isn't it? Not this earth. It's not about bettering ourselves or bettering our life. Not that a goal for losing weight or exercising more or getting on a budget is bad. I would just argue they're secondary. I believe that our primary goal is obedience, right? It's to focus on eternal rewards, not earthly satisfaction. And I believe that if we obey the Lord and what he teaches us in his word, these other goals will be accomplished, won't they? If we don't worship food and if we view exercise as worship instead of something that we have to do or that we should do, maybe it would change our perspective. So with our focus on God and his eternal kingdom and our renewed focus in 2023 on eternity, what's God call us to? What should be our view for New Year's resolutions according to our passage? I want to highlight two this morning. And they're actually interrelated. You can't have one without the other. Because see, first God calls us to seek the things that are above or set your mind on things above. You know, I need to back up a second to verse 1. What's the first key to the entire passage? If you've been raised with Christ. So our first step is regeneration, isn't it? All the self-help, all the improved life, all your self-love, or another popular term I've heard is ridding ourselves of toxic people. All these self-focused things, what are they if our soul is dead? What good is earthly pleasure for a fleeting moment if we spend eternity separated from Christ? But as we read our text, salvation isn't the end game, is it? Oftentimes that's what gets taught is pray a prayer, find salvation, escape hell, and then go back to living your life. But that's really not what it's about, is it? Salvation, regeneration is about a new heart, which comes with it new desires. It's a new birth, right? If anybody's ever had a baby or been around a newborn baby, what do? We feed it, we nurture it, and what happens? It grows, right? Well, the same is true of us spiritually. When we're born again and we receive that new heart, we have to feed upon the word of Christ. And we grow spiritually. We don't want to stay an infant. We want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, right? So if we're in Christ, I think the first New Year's resolution that Paul has for us here is he says, seek the things that are above. Set your mind on things that are above. How do we seek? How do we set our mind on things above? It's the word of God, right? Are we reading it? Are we meditating on it every day? You know, a quick question as I prepared, I thought of this analogy. You know, if you buy an exercise bike and set it up in your room, is that going to help you lose weight? Is it going to help you get in shape? I've tried it. It doesn't work. Well, it's the same of a Bible, right? You can buy a Bible, but if we let it set there, it does us no good. What if we ride our bike a half hour every Sunday morning, spend the rest of the week eating junk food and sitting on the couch? We're going to be in a little bit better place, but is it going to achieve our goals? No, it's not. And I feel like the same is true spiritually. We have to set our minds on things above. We have to be in the Word. We have to be in prayer. And we have to be seeking the leading of the Holy Spirit as we read His Word and as we pray. You know, I was talking to a friend this week, and we were both talking about some difficult decisions and some difficulties in our lives. And as we talk, I feel like the Holy Spirit revealed something to me. It's a little bit foolish sometimes how we act. And maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but oftentimes we fall into patterns of neglecting the Word and neglecting a walk with the Lord. And we only turn to Him when we want an answer, when we feel difficulty, when life feels strained. And what are we really turning to Him for? We're turning to ask Him as we go through this trial, what are you trying to teach me? How do you want to mold my heart? How are you going to make me more like Christ? Or are we actually asking, Lord, what's the easiest way for me to get out of this? Which is going to be the least pain, the least suffering, whether it's financially or spiritually or relationally, what's going to cause the least? Because I deserve peace. I don't want difficulty. I don't want trial. And as we talked, I couldn't help but think, how foolish is it? We have nothing to seek the Lord daily, day in and day out. We have no relationship. But now we're faced with a difficult decision. We want Him to intervene. I would argue in 2023 that we set our minds on Christ. And that's a relationship. It's in His Word. And it's meditating on the truth that He has for us. Because what's His goal for us? It's to make us like Christ. He wants to conform us to the image of His Son, not make our lives better or more comfy or more satisfying. It's to make us into the image of His Son. Let's look back at verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with Him in glory. Remember, God's not looking to bless our life or give us the best life now. He's preparing us for our best life, which is when Christ appears, when we appear with Him in glory. Amen? You know, I think the second New Year's resolution we have from God in our passage in 2023 comes from verses 5 through 11. Paul says, to put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual morality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. That is not a popular message in our culture. The wrath of God still exists. The wrath of God is still upon all the people outside of Christ. I preached that one time, and a dear old saint came up to me afterward and was very upset at me. Because we are taught that the God of the New Testament is love. In the Old Testament, God was full of anger and wrath. Is that true? No. It's not true at all. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of the Old Testament is love and mercy and grace, just as much as Jesus Christ. And the God of the New Testament is still angry. There's still wrath against the wickedness and the sin of our world. And there is going to be punishment. And that wrath still exists for all outside of Christ. We continue in verse 7. In those you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put away all sin, all anger, all wrath, all malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing you've put off the old self with its practices, have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. The second resolution from God is that He wants us to put off the old self. He actually states it a little bit stronger than that, doesn't he? He says, put to death. Why are we called to do this? Does it earn us more love from the Father? No. Does it earn our salvation? No. Does it earn your right to come to the communion table? No, it doesn't. Because salvation was shed by was paid for by Jesus in His shed blood, right? So why? Why do we want to put off this old self? What's the goal? Colossians 3, verse 12 through 17. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds them together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So why? Why focus in 2023 on putting on the new self, putting to death the things of the flesh? Verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. We're chosen. God calls us to obedience. I think of Jesus whenever he sent the disciples away into town to get food, and he spoke to the Samaritan woman, and they came back, and Jesus, you must be hungry. He said, I have food you don't know about. It's to do the will of the Father. So we're called to be obedient. We're called to seek the will of the Lord and to obey. Second of all, we're holy. What's that mean? We're set apart. We're supposed to be different than the world. But in and of ourselves, we are the same. We are sinners. If we do nothing, we will default to the world. You know, whenever we read the first resolution to set our minds on things above, is that active or is that passive? It's active, right? We have to be actively seeking the Lord. We have to actively be in the Word. If we do nothing, we're not going to be setting our minds. We'll be giving into the flesh if we do nothing. Yeah, I know it's an illustration I gave before, but if our spiritual life is like a river and our spiritual disciplines are like rowing the canoe up the river, what happens when you quit rowing? What happens when you quit reading your Bible and you quit praying? What happens? You don't stay where you're at. The current draws you away from the Lord, right? You go backwards. You know, our reward. What was our reward? I know ultimately we are called to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. But from this text, what's our reward? You know, our reward for self-improvement, if we do the standard New Year's resolutions, they're good, aren't they? It's good to be in better shape. It's good to lose weight. It's good to get on a budget. It's good to spend more time with family and friends and to read more. But what are those rewards? They're on this earth, aren't they? But how do they compare to our rewards if we put off our old self, if we put to death the things of the flesh and we set our minds on things above? How does that compare to that reward? Well, look at verse 15 with me. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. You know, no matter how successful you are at proving your health this year, it will never give you the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ can only come through the Word, through prayer, through the Holy Spirit who is at work within us. I know many of you are familiar with my journey this last several months dealing with anger. I went to a licensing committee meeting and they asked me if Satan was you one sin to derail your ministry, what would it be? And I said anger. And they challenged me on it. In love, they challenged me to go deeper. And the Lord used a book, Uprooting Anger. And what I've discovered is you seek the Lord and you allow the Holy Spirit to work and He begins to change your character. I've had more peace in the last 2 months than I've had in my entire life. Because as you are obedient, the Lord replaces the stress and the anger and the worry that overcomes and leads to the outburst. When you start to see things from God's perspective and you start to understand that this trial isn't about how am I going to pay for it, or I had that money for vacation, now I have to fix my car, or whatever the stress and the worry. If you start to look at it and say, Lord, it's all yours. What do you have for me? What are you teaching me? What are you leading me? How do you want me to conform more to your Son? There is a peace that passes all understanding. And that can only come from the Holy Spirit ministering to our spirit. And it is a total shift in our view and our mentality away from this world and the troubles and the cares. And it sets our heart and our mind on glory, which is what God's preparing us for, to spend eternity plumbing the depths of the knowledge of the riches of Christ. I don't know if that about you, but that should excite us. Not that eternity is going to be one big church service, but it's going to be our opportunity to plumb the depths and the knowledge of God. We'll spend eternity and probably never come to the full understanding of God because we're created, we're limited. But how I long to see the Lord work in our lives today, because we can begin today. You know, today and the rest of this year is a blank slate. Are we going to invest in making our lives better here? Or are we going to invest in the next kingdom? Which, like I said, will actually improve our lives here. It will take care of those other secondary issues as we seek to be obedient to the Lord. So I want to challenge you. I want to challenge everyone here to meditate on Colossians 3. Meditate on it as long as the Lord wants you to. I can't tell you to do it for a week, a month, a year. But get alone with this passage. Ask the Lord to speak to you. He's the one that changes hearts. He's the one that changes lives. His word is what has the power to set you free. Because Christ's death on the cross just didn't free us from the punishment of sin. It freed us from the power of sin. But remember, it's active. We have to actively seek the things above, or else we'll be distracted by the secondary issues of this world. You know, as you meditate on this word, on this passage, let the Spirit speak to you. Let Him reveal the truth to you. There's a long list of sins in here. I mentioned one that He's been eradicating, but there's more. I'm a sinner. There's more that He has to work on. There's more that He wants to grow. And I just know that there's more and more peace to be found in Christ as He makes us more into the image of His Son. So meditate on it. You know, there's also quite a list of positive qualities that He wants us to grow into. You know, we should be the most joyous people anyone know. We should have the most peace. We should have the most hope. We should lack fear. Our confidence shouldn't be self-confidence, but we should be confident in the One who called us and who is faithful. So we just celebrated last Sunday. A promise thousands of years old. Our God is faithful. It's not our timing. It's His timing, but He's faithful. And He made a promise to us this morning that He's coming again. That's part of communion. As we come to the table of grace, there's a promise there. We face the reality that we couldn't save ourselves. He did, but He also made a promise. He said, I will not drink this cup until I come again. He's coming again. As we partake in communion, it's a means of grace, but it's also a promise. He is coming again. You know, we have to be active. We have to make a decision to set our mind on things above. If we don't, we'll default to sin. So as we face this new year, as we dive in to a blank slate, let's set our mind on things above. Let's make a decision to seek the Lord while we still have time. While He still tarries, let's seek the Lord. And let's eradicate the sin. And let's create more peace, more joy, more hope, more love in our hearts that should bind us together as one. That's another reminder of the table. We're one body. There's one Spirit. There's one Lord. We're one together. And I want to finish with this quote. I think it's Spurgeon. My wife wrote it in my notebook and didn't put a name, so I'm going to blame her. But I'm pretty sure it's Spurgeon said, happy is the man who possesses a Bible. Happier still is the one who reads it. Happiest of all is he who not only reads it, but obeys it and makes it the rule of his faith and practice. That's somebody else, please correct me. But what a truth there is. Happy is the man who possesses a Bible. Happier still is he who reads it. Happiest of all is not only he who reads it, but obeys it and makes it the rule of his faith and practice. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You for another year, Lord. And I just pray that You would do the work in our hearts, Lord. We know that we can't do this out of self-effort, and I'm not talking about pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. You call us and then you equip us. It's about us letting go of our sinfulness and seeking the power of your Holy Spirit to overcome. And Lord, I pray that we would seek in 2023 to be in your word, to set our mind on things above, to set our minds on spiritual things, and to look around us at a lost and dying world, and how can we be Christ? That's the thing. Do we have a hope that other people want? Do they see a happiness and a joy and a peace that they can't fathom and they can't explain? And they ask us for an answer, for us to, where's this hope? Where's this peace? Where's this joy that you have? May we strive to glorify and honor you. It ultimately brings you glory when your people are satisfied in you. And there's nothing in this world has to offer that trumps you. May you be our treasure in 2023. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, as we prepare our hearts this morning for communion, you know, we're reminded this is a table of grace. We're never good enough on our own effort. Just like this morning, are we putting off our old self? Are we yielding to the Lord? Have we died with Christ, and have we been risen again? That's the key this morning. So as we prepare our hearts for communion, we do want to look at 1 Corinthians 11, 27 and 28. It says, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." The self-examination isn't, are you worthy? You're not. None of us are. The self-examination is your heart right? Are you seeking after putting the old self to death? Are we striving? And you can make that decision now. You can bow your knee to the Lordship of Christ, and you can repent and turn. Because remember, he's the one that made us worthy. He's the one that's worthy. He took our sin. In exchange, he gave us his righteousness. So let's just take a minute to prepare our hearts. And if Rob would come forward, we can serve communion. Lord, as the psalmist David cried out, "Search my heart, Lord. Know if there's any wicked way within us." Lord, we recognize this morning that this is a table of grace, and I thank you for your grace and mercy that was shown in the life and the death and the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, just help us to purify our hearts this morning, that if there's anything that needs repented of and turned, and may we do that now. May we be attentive to your Spirit. And Lord, may we prepare our hearts to partake of the Lord's table together. In your name we pray. Amen. read from 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. We had given thanks. He broke it. So this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Maybe we'll partake together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your body that you gave for us. You are the bread of life, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. So this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. May we partake together. Dear Heavenly Father, may we be ministered to this morning as we partake of the bread and the cup, as we're reminded of your death on the cross that redeemed us from the pit. Your blood, the blood of a new covenant that covers over our sin, that pays once and for all. We thank you for that. May we all be ministered to you this morning by this awesome reality. And we're reminded that now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever.